Good evening. I'm Ashley Williamson.
I'm William Denton.
We're here to explain theater science.
And what you're going to experience during the show. To begin, we would like to reassure everyone in the audience that although the performance will happen all around you, and the performers will be very near, this is not an interactive show and no one will touch you or try to get you to participate.
We promise. None of the actors you see performing tonight have rehearsed this show.
They have the same information you do. It is all in the score.
The word score in performance studies refers to the actions you would like someone to perform. Our score includes words for the actors to say and directions for them to follow.
You should each have a score in front of you. Follow along if you'd like.
You might see tape running along the Great Hall floor.
Pink, yellow, green, blue, and orange.
This is the actor's blocking.
Blocking means telling the actors where they should move for the proper dramatic effect and to ensure that the audience can see everything.
Although you will not be seeing a narrative play, this show is still theater.
It is less of a short story and more of an essay crossed with a New Yorker article. More than anything, theater science should be supportive and welcoming.
For the audience and the performers.
And theater science is fun. Ashley, I've been thinking.
Yeah?
You saw the spring review.
Yeah.
And the production we did last year.
Yeah.
Well, I did tech for both, and while I was sitting in the gallery up there, I started thinking about all the problems that we have doing shows here. Same problems every time, like getting people to come to rehearsals. Not everyone can make them all, which is fair enough, but it means there's less rehearsal time for everyone to work together.
People need to rehearse. You got to work with the other actors to really learn lines. Get the blocking, get the rhythm, work out all the kinks.
Lines and blocking, yeah. It's hard to learn lines. There are a couple of professionals here and a good handful with a lot of amateur experience who are as good as, but mostly it's people doing shows in their free time just for the love of it. They have full-time jobs. You got 6 weeks to learn 7 different skits. That's hard, especially when other performers are missing one rehearsal each week.
Yeah, same for blocking. Enter left, cross right is easy, but you need to do it with the other actors. Make sure it works. You got 4 or more people moving around, or you're trying to time something for a gag. It takes a lot of practice. But with this community theater, these are the problems every director has to deal with.
But what if, instead of fighting against the problems, we worked with them, treated them as constraints? It's hard to learn lines, so let people do it on book or project the words on the wall. For blocking, put lines on the floor or a big sign that says, stand here.
Huh. Everything that's ever been a problem, stop it from happening? Rehearsals. Why have them? What if there were no rehearsals at all? But then there are things we're good at, like the costumes. We've got great costume cupboards. And people, they're game for anything. If we say we got an idea for an experimental show, people will try it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And you know lamps, literature, architecture, music, painting, and stage?
Of course. I'm an S, you're an L.
How about this as a motto? Limitation, algorithm, method, process, script.
Ooh, I like it. Limitation, algorithm, method, process. But it's not a script.
What?
It'll be a score. Plays have scripts. Performance have scores. This is a performance.
Huh. You're the theater expert. Score it is.
Limitation. Algorithm. Method. Process. Score.
The Arts and Letters Club of Toronto was founded in 1908 and is most famous for being where the Group of Seven, Canada's most famous group of artists, came together. It is a private club, but always open to new members. It has a long, rich history of a place where artists of all kinds can meet to discuss new ideas and artistic experiments in the fields of literature, architecture, music, painting, and stage. It is located downtown near Yonge and Dundas in a heritage building at 14 Elm Street. It has three floors. At the top is a studio where 3 days a week artists paint and draw models. It is also a good space for reading plays, scene studies, and singing songs. On the second floor, there are two offices, a meeting room, an archive, and a library. The ground floor has a lounge and bar, and another meeting room. All the walls of the rooms are filled with art, paintings, sketches, photographs, and more, all by club members. The heart of the club is the Great Hall. It is 3 stories tall, a huge room with a steep, pitched roof, all wood except for the massive stone fireplace. It is the home of most of the club's performance events, from the long-running annual Spring Review, the Robert Beardsley Playwriting Award reading series, Music Wednesday concerts, and the Boar's Head Feast yearly pageant.
Hey, it's Bill.
How's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, you know. How about you?
Treading on the tail of the tiger.
No, I've been thinking about theater science.
Me too.
So it has to be about something, right? There needs to be a subject.
Definitely. This is a show with content. This is nonfiction theater.
Well, I've got an idea. It's from the library world. You've heard me talk about information literacy. That's the term we use for talking about how people find and manage information, how they use it, how they assess it, all of that. Every student in university needs good information literacy skills, but it's important for everyone of any age, especially with the social media and the internet and everything going on these days.
You think the show should be about information literacy?
Well, there's this librarian group in the States called the ACRL. That stands for the Association for College and Research...
ACRL.
All right. Well, they wrote this thing called the Framework for Information Literacy for Higher Education, and it's got 6 threshold concepts in it.
It's a threshold concept.
Well, I'm no expert, but it's something like when you're learning something, some subject, and you've got bits and pieces that make sense, but then you sort of pass over a threshold into a new understanding about some key concept, a real understanding that you didn't have before, couldn't have had before, and now you really know the subject and that concept. And after that threshold, your whole understanding, your whole involvement with the subject is different.
Interesting. I wonder what they would be in drama or theater studies.
Well, good question. I don't know. Every subject has threshold concepts, I guess, but the ACRL has 6 for information literacy, and I think we should use them.
6?
Yeah.
What's the first one?
Authority is constructed and contextual.
Well, there you go. That's it. Done.
Information literacy. Information literacy is a field of library science. Here is a definition from the Association of College and Research Libraries in the Framework for Information Literacy for Higher Education. Quote, information literacy is the set of integrated abilities encompassing the reflective discovery of information, the understanding of how information is produced and valued, and the use of information in creating new knowledge and participating ethically in communities of learning. Unquote. In other words, information literacy is the ability to do these with information: find, use, understand, evaluate, integrate, share. Librarians used to think of information literacy as being very much about using computers to do research, and they had long lists of specific tasks that people should be able to do. Now, however, they use the framework and its 6 frames, which are threshold concepts. The 6 frames are: authority is constructed and contextual, information creation as a process, information has value, research as inquiry, scholarship as conversation, and searching as strategic exploration.
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
Oh, hi. I was just going to call you.
Mind meld. Called to talk about the simulations we had last week. And we should do next time. Our test subjects were able to follow the tape we put down and understand the directions and the score. But I'm wondering about adding words for them to say and how we can do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what verbatim theater is?
Well, verbatim means word for word.
Yeah, it's a subset of devised theater that uses interviews, transcripts, articles, and things to develop a script.
Oh, yeah. That would be good. So we could use excerpts from the ACRL or other material about authority.
Quotes or reviews, interviews with people. Who do we know? Oh, we could interview librarians we know about the frameworks.
Oh yeah. We should. I can send out an email at work.
Great. Great. Okay, but I think in the next simulation, we should try headphone verbatim.
Headphone verbatim?
Yeah, performers wear headphones on stage and repeat what they hear. It's kind of neat because they repeat the ums and the ahs. They just hear it and then say it. It's supposed to keep the performances feeling authentic and real, but in our instance, it might be another way to mitigate learning lines.
They would just hear the whole script on headphones?
Yep.
Oh, well, we should try it out for sure, but how are we going to do it?
I have wireless headphones we could use at the simulation in November. We could record something, which is your department, to my phone and get people to listen and repeat.
Okay, yeah. I'll find something. What else should we do? I want to try people reading off of a screen. I'll have some stuff in a score format and then some projected.
That's a good plan.
So, written on paper, projected on the wall, and then headphones. Anything else?
No. I think that's the correct number of elements for a 2-hour simulation. We've got to make sure we have people to test it out.
Yeah, we need to recruit.
All right. Good. Talk in a few days.
Great. Bye.
Devised and verbatim theater. Devised theater is a process by which a play script or score is created in a rehearsal-like environment using techniques like movement, repetition, improvisation, to tease out a story or narrative from source material such as newspaper articles, photographs, books, songs, or personal interviews. The process can involve as few as 2 and as many as a room can hold. It is sometimes called collective creation. The use of recorded dialogue to feed actors their lines comes from a subset of devised theater called verbatim theater. This technique builds the play's narrative and dialogue using transcripts of interviews, court hearings, TV or radio broadcasts. A further subset of verbatim theater is headphone verbatim. This technique originated in the 90s with artists like Anna Deavere Smith, who used recordings of her subjects' voices and vocal patterns to learn her lines and develop the characters for her one-woman shows like Fires in the Mirror. The evolution of headphone verbatim in the 21st century means that actors are now wearing headphones on stage through which their dialogue is played. The actors repeat the words as they hear them, eliminating the need to learn their lines. For example, in Rosalind Ode's Hello, Goodbye and Happy Birthday.
Well, I've been on quite a few shows here, and I've directed some, too.
Yeah.
I think we have to take into consideration that we mostly work with amateurs. Amateur theater, community theater, they have very specific limitations. We also have mostly older folks. We have even more constraints to work with.
Yeah, like learning lines. We should let people read.
We should. But cold reading is pretty hard, too. It's a skill, and lots of people aren't very good at it. Some trained actors still have problems with it. Even professionals are given time to read over scripts before they are asked to read at an audition or a reading or...
Yeah. We should build all that in.
And blocking instructions. We need to make those really clear and unambiguous.
That will be hard.
It will. We will have to take the fear out of stepping on stage and knowing nothing about where the spike lines are or the furniture or even the audience. We will know it from designing it, but we can't take for granted that the actors will know, especially untrained actors. pros have had multiple experiences on a variety of stages or sets, so they might have instincts that will kick in about how to move, where to stand, how to cover it up if they don't, but
our volunteers won't.
Right, and we want this to be fun. We don't want them to be intimidated, or worse, participate in theater science and then be put off from doing theater ever again.
Exactly.
I was thinking about having some roles that could be static. I've been on lots of shows with really keen, sharp people, but they're older and not able to move around as freely.
We could have a set of roles that could be done from a seated position.
Yeah, that would be good. Sitting.
Hello?
Hey, Bill. It's me.
Oh, hey, Ash. Thanks for calling me back. I had a question about the next 3 weeks of meetings.
Hit me.
What is a clinical trial?
Oh, that is when we invite people to come to the club and run through some of the pages we put together to see if they work.
I thought that was a lab test.
No, that's just you and me in the Great Hall working.
Isn't that a production meeting?
No, production meetings are just logistics and stuff. Those are usually phone calls, unless we have to meet with Fiona at the club or something.
Right.
I know, we've kind of stretched the science metaphors a bit here. I'll run you through it. To start, we had simulations. Those were when we didn't know what theater science was going to be, so we ran through some preliminary ideas with volunteers. That was October and November. We had a bunch of production meetings in December to get our rooms booked, our topics picked, and our schedule set.
Gotcha.
Now we're in 2020, and we have lab tests. Me, you, in the Great Hall or studio, walking through our ideas. Clinical trials, where we have people come into the hall and walk through the stuff. We also have peer review.
What? Peer review?
When we get together to read over some of the scenarios at York with the librarians next Wednesday?
Right.
Yeah. And finally, we're having the two shows a week apart. First is a beta test, because we have asked people to be in it to make sure we have all the parts covered, and because we can change things based on information we collect after the show and the feedback from the audience.
And the second show is experiment one, because it will finally be the first real full test of theater science.
Correct.
Phew. So that's all. Simulations, production meetings, lab tests, clinical trials, peer review, beta test experiment.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess I'll see you on Friday for a lab test.
You sure will.
John Cage. Grove Music Online is the largest and most respected reference source for music. It says about John Cage, quote, born Los Angeles, September 5, 1912. Died New York, August 12, 1992. American composer. One of the leading figures of the post-war avant-garde. The influence of his compositions, writings, and personality has been felt by a wide range of composers around the world. He had a greater impact on music in the 20th century than any other American composer. Unquote. Cage used chance to take himself out of the process of composing. He would often roll dice to determine what would happen next. He wrote music for percussion, piano, tape, voice, small ensembles, and other instruments. One piece is written for 12 radios, each played by two people. One controls the tuning, and the other the volume and timbre. Most famously, he used silence. He is best known for his silent piece, 4 minutes and 33 seconds. Cage was also a mycologist. He studied mushrooms. He became interested in them in 1954. He said, quote, I found myself living in small quarters with four other people, and I was not used to such lack of privacy, so I took to walking in the woods. And, since it was August, the fungi are the flora of the forest at that time. I was very involved with chance operations and music, and I thought it would just be a very good thing if I could get involved with something where I could not take chances. Unquote. In 1958, he won 5 million lira on an Italian game show, answering questions about mushrooms.
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
What's shaking?
I had an idea.
Ah.
So the show's about authority is constructed and contextual, but we were talking about how we need an example, a case study.
Definitely. It can't be an abstract lecture. It needs a hook to hang it on.
I was trying to think of someone who has authority in two different fields that aren't connected. Then we can talk about how that authority is constructed differently in each, which shows how it's contextual.
What, like Tom Hanks? He's won Oscars and he's an expert on manual typewriters?
But everyone agrees he's an authority in both fields. It's better to have someone whose authority is contested.
Right, so there's an argument, and we can show how the authority is constructed. Some do, some don't. Who do you have in mind?
John Cage.
First field is music, obviously.
Some people say he changed the understanding of what music is, the same as Duchamp did for visual art. There are generations of people now who are influenced by his approach to sound and also how to live a life.
But then other people think what he did wasn't music at all, just random nonsense, making stuff up, no chord changes or melodies or talents.
To them, he's no authority. He's a charlatan. To others, he's one of the most important composers of the 20th century.
What's the second field?
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms?
Yeah. He was a mycologist. He studied them. He could identify them. He was involved in organizations about mycology. He wrote a book about mushrooms. He used them in his art. He'd lead forays to go look for mushrooms in the forest. He could tell the poisonous ones from the edible ones. You could trust John Cage to stop you from dying from mushroom poisoning.
Even if you hated his music?
He wouldn't hold it against you. He was a Buddhist.
That could work nicely. In music, he's an authority to some people, but not to others. It's constructed. It's contextual. But then about mushrooms, he's definitely an authority. If you want to know about them, you could ask him whether or not you think his music is any good.
And if we use Cage, then there's the perfect way to get the audience to think about his music and make up their own minds about whether they consider him an authority.
Oh, no way! No! Yes! Yes! Perfect!
Yes. We close with a performance of 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
All right, then. Do we agree that turn to face the fireplace is a clear enough direction?
Well, I think that is better than saying turn left or look west. The fireplace is an actual thing. Easier to just move toward it without thinking.
Okay. Now, what about this section here where we have everyone looking up at the screen? Does that wording make sense?
Whoa, it's 10 p.m. The staff will want to close.
That late? Really? Oh, we only did 3 pages.
Oh, I know, I know. Well, we're going to need more lab tests. Can we scan another this week and add one next week? What's your weekend like?
Oh my God, well, we'll have to. I can do Friday. Will the hall be free?
Well, I'll email and find out and get some times for next week. We might have to work in the studio though.
Okay. Well, our no rehearsals promise doesn't actually mean no rehearsals at all.
No, it doesn't. It means no rehearsals for the performers, but hours and hours of rehearsals for us.
We should update our findings document.
And we should leave. The staff is shutting off the lights.
Hello?
Hi, Bill.
Oh, hey, Ash. How's your work been going? I'm fixing up the John Cage section we read at the club last week.
Oh, good, good. I've made a map of the hall where the tape lines and chairs will be, and little paper pieces to be performers. I'm trying to direct the show by moving them around and taking notes about it. I'm finding it really hard to direct. Directing on paper is weird.
Oh, because we don't have people to move around. Yeah.
Yeah, that and, well, direction is usually motivated by something in the script, and, well, we don't have the whole script.
Right.
I mean, we have a lot.
We're kind of devising it, writing it, directing it, and all that at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And in devised theater, that usually works because the performers are involved in the whole process. So the direction is integrated. Our score isn't being built like that.
I guess we were thinking about what the performers and audience were going to need on the night of the show. A full score with everything included so they can follow along with the performance, keeping it open and transparent for them.
Yes. I don't think I gave much consideration to how much time I would have to spend thinking about the performers and the performance in the abstract. I mean, beyond clinical trials when volunteers test out the scenarios. But I need the words in order to sort out the action. Right now I'm making arbitrary choices about where to move people. It feels odd.
You need a script to direct, even if it is just for the two of us doing a lab test.
Especially then. This is where we sort out all the scary stuff for the performers. Reading from the score without knowing what it says will be intimidating. But moving around on stage, I think that will be the part that freaks out a lot of people.
That would freak me out. So, I need to get the scenarios written.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what's on for tonight?
Start with another walkthrough. Hang on. Let me get my notes together here. Oh, hey! It's 5 weeks exactly to the beta test.
16 January, 20 February. Right. Well, that's lots of time.
How's the writing going?
Oh, really great, actually. It's all coming together. Something clicked, and I know how to make the dialogue work and the words move.
What are you thinking?
You remember Sarah at the peer review at York last week.
The librarian you work with does information literacy.
She gave us 5 words she said she'd use to explain IL to someone outside the library world. Find, use, understand, evaluate, integrate.
Yeah, that was nicely put.
But 5 isn't divisible by 3.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So add one more word, share. Information literacy is about being able to do these with information resources. Find, use, understand, evaluate, integrate, share. The share is crucial, any librarian would agree.
6 words, and 6 is divisible by 3. So we have the 3 tertiaries up on the stage there.
And they rotate through the words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No, it won't go stage right, center, left. It'll be left, right, center. That's more interesting. Gotta bounce it around. They repeat them through the piece as needed?
Like a chorus.
That's less for them to remember. And because the pattern is always the same, they'll get into a familiar rhythm and they can go faster without reading. And the audience will get familiar with it too.
Repetition. And then we repeat the pattern, but with different words for John Cage. Chance. Zen, silence, laughter, mushrooms, mirth.
Repetition of the pattern helps enforce the messages and makes them stick in the memory.
Once I thought of 6 words, then it all fell into place. I could see this structure where the tertiaries are a chorus. We keep coming back to them with these repeated words. It's easy for them because the words are the same. It's like a riff we pull out and everyone gets to know it.
Moving voices around, using the static people on stage in a theatrical way. This, my friend, is what we call a dramaturgical moment.
All right, the tape is down. Lines marked, shapes shaped. You done with the projector and all the tech?
Good to go. We're going to walk through from the start?
No, let's start with scenario 3. We did up to there last time, but I need to make sure my blocking is actually going to work from there on.
You want me to do the walking while you call it out? I can start off as P. Where am I?
Let's see. Primary, second, end of scenario 2. It's crossed to the pink line, turn towards the entrance, then walk on the blue line, and stop on the chevrons.
Okay, pink line, turn. Wait, which is the blue line?
It's the blue one.
I mean, which is the blue one?
Which is the blue one?
Cripes, is it this one or that one?
This one is blue, and that one is green.
Well, they both look blue to me.
What?
Look at them, they're both blue.
No, they're not, that one's green.
It's blue-green, a bluey blue-green.
No, it's not, it's just green. What's the matter with you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm slightly colorblind and I see blues and greens different from most people. Don't vision shame me. Also, what's that shape there? Is that a star or an asterisk? How about that, eh?
It's a star. That's an asterisk.
Well, I think they're too similar, and people will find them hard to tell apart, especially if one is, quote, blue and one is, quote, green. This room is going to be dimly lit. It's big. It's hard to see the other side. People are bifocals. People are colorblind. The tape needs to be totally unambiguous. If the score says follow the blue line to the star, and that's the first time someone has seen the direction, they need to be absolutely sure what to do without fail.
Well, maybe you're right. I can make the shapes bigger. Usually we spike things so no one can see the tape, but yeah, here the tape is part of the set. The audience needs to know what the markings are too, so they can match the score to the floor.
What about the blue and the green?
I'll get some white tape. Can you tell white from blue?
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
Hi.
Well, I think that went well last night.
Me too. Nice to see people out to support, and great to finally see what the heck we've been making for the last year.
It was.
We need to change a bunch of stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. We need to change a lot. I've already gone through the score and taken out all the pauses. We don't need them. The cold reading gives us enough pauses as it is.
Oh, good. I was going to say that. Some bits were really painfully slow. And about the cold reading, we're going to need to give the performers more than 30 minutes to prepare. By the time I got them downstairs and in their tailcoats and looking at the blocking map, they were reading their lines up to the very last second.
Yeah, cold reading is hard. And they must have had questions.
They did.
I guess we were thinking letting them read it would be like a rehearsal.
I think so. But it's not. It's just getting familiar with what we're asking them to do in front of strangers for the first time.
So still no rehearsals, but also no surprises.
Yes! That should be the new tagline. We really have to rethink the idea of no rehearsals for this whole project.
Yeah, but not right now.
No. We just have to give the performers more time. What if we set them up in the Lamps room with coffee and dessert, so when their dinner is over, they meet me there at 7 p.m. They could go over the score, look at the blocking map, ask questions, get comfortable with each other.
That sounds good. They won't have time to rehearse per se, but they will get a bit more warmed up.
Yes.
Also, I think we need to make the lines on the floor thicker.
I was thinking that. I was spiking it all down like, you know, you do in a show. But the whole point here is, please look at all these colorful tape on the floor. I'll get in earlier next week to do that.
And I'll have to sort up better directions for the headphone stuff. It was a good thing you were there to help Lorna with the headphones. I'll find a pair that with the fixed cans that don't get all twisted around.
Yeah, people found those tricky. And I wonder about rewriting the verbatim directions. It was weird to have everyone on stage stop and quietly read them, but we also need performers to understand what the heck we're asking them to do. What do you think?
Yeah. I was talking to Thomas, and he said it was difficult to know what were directions coming through the headphones and what were lines.
Yeah. And people are waiting for a pause to repeat and then falling behind. I think we need to make them feel comfortable just saying the bits that they hear, making it clear that they just have to repeat.
Right. More of a simulcast than like repeating wedding vows.
Exactly.
I guess I could have P read out a description that just says that. P will explain exactly what is going to happen so that the audience and the performers both know. And that would fit in with the promise of transparency.
It would. Great.
Anything else?
No.
I don't think so either. I'll call if I think of anything, and then we have the recheck next Tuesday.
Great. Talk soon.
All right.
Oof, all right. 4 o'clock. Everything is set up and tested. 2 hours before people start showing up for dinner. Experiment one at 8. Oh, let's sit down.
Let's look ahead a bit while we have the time. What's next? It's the end of February. Then what?
I want to take a break.
Oh, agreed. Hey, have you been following the latest about that virus?
Yeah. I don't know what to make of it, but it's weird in Italy.
Yeah, and those videos from Iran? I went out and bought more hand sanitizer.
Well, some things are under our control and some things aren't. At least hand sanitizer is. Anyway, next steps. In April, we're doing bite-sized theater science to the librarians and archivists up at York. We've got an hour for that, so we can do all or most of the show, depending. Need to think about that audience and what we want to try to get across.
need to report back to the club about how it all went. And then in May, there's CATR in Montreal. We'll workshop the whole show, but we need to think about that audience, what we want them to get out of it, too.
Well, all along, it's been methods and content. Theater methods and library content. We tell the theater people about the library content and the library people about the theater methods. As a librarian, I want all the theater people to know about information literacy for them and their students.
Authority is constructed and contextual is gonna resonate. It's not like there haven't been plays written about that for the last 2,500 years.
You know, it's curious how we never applied that to ourselves.
Yeah, Lisa and Chris both saw it, but we didn't until they pointed it out. Here we are doing a show about authority as constructed and contextual, making people say words they've never seen and follow tape on the floor without knowing where they're going. And we never thought of ourselves as the authority.
You can't always look at something from the outside when you're inside it. That's one thing I like about theater is how many people can get involved and they all see different things.
And as a director, you get to hear every single opinion.
And what about the pedagogical aspects? Patty's sister Kathy was saying after that lab test that seeing the score and all the prep we'd done had made her think about how she was going to work differently with the kids in her grade 4 class. So that's good.
Theater science is useful for teaching non-theater people about theater. Everything's in the open, nothing's hidden, so you can read it and walk through it without rehearsal. You're doing a show. You need to do it in the right environment with some prep like we're doing tonight. But this is an entrance into performance for people who are scared of performing. No, not scared. New to performing.
Be interesting to see how that goes over in the library world. The librarians I know who are performers, they approach the work differently. We do rehearsals and tech runs, and we go at a talk or a workshop as if it's a performance. It's a whole different vibe. I'd like more of that.
Going the other way, there's what theater people make of information literacy. There's also the fact that we did everything in the open. GitHub, the CC license, the audience gets the score, all of that. No secrets. It's like if everyone gets the stage manager's Bible when they enter the lobby. What does that mean? What if you expose all the inner workings of a show to the audience?
I like that. In libraries, we think all products of human knowledge should be available to everyone. And we're working on this like a free software project. Open license, everyone can use and reuse.
I can't wait to see Montreal again.
Oh, what a great city.
So nice in the spring, too.
Well, I'm going to go walk around the block. All we have to do now is put out the scores. At 7, you gather the performers. At 7:30, I start the countdown. 8 o'clock, theater science. Break a leg.
Break a leg.
We leave it to you. You have the background.
Find, use,
understand,
evaluate,
integrate,
share.
You heard the example.
Chance,
zen,
silence,
laughter, mushrooms,
mares.
Who's in authority? When? Why? Are they, are you?
Authority?
Constructed.
Contextual.